Don and Mike, WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
There is a vulgar element involved with the Don and Mike Show.
A lot of people come up here and they thank Jesus for this award.
Yeah.
I want you to know that no one had less to do with this award than Jesus.
Right, Patrick Griffin.
He didn't help me a bit. If it was up to him, Caesar Milan would be up here with that damn dog. So all I can say is, suck it, Jesus. This award is my God now.
Kathy Griffin.
Classy lady.
Everybody can suck it.
There she is. Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike. While Fox is bleeping things, CBS is also playing it safe in its own way by not letting TV critics preview the first episode of
Hello
Kid Nation. Normally, CBS and the other networks flood the critics with DVDs of their stuff, usually at least a couple of days before a premiere. And when they don't, it usually means the show sucks. The goal would be to avoid getting panned before the premiere.
I smell the thing, same thing that I smelled when they threw out that Survivor where they had the whites against blacks against Orientals.
Hype machine in full regalia.
They are turgid. It's a turgid, hot, hard machine.
And I wonder where this came from. There's also speculation that in this case, the reason they have...
Rob Spiewak writes, Dear Don and Mike, doesn't Rosie O'Donnell star in Skid Nation?
That's
Thank
on the
you.
Mark.
When she's not beating herself with baseball bats.
Rosie! There's speculation that in this case, the reason the DVD's not being released to critics is because of the controversy that already surrounds this much-anticipated show. Actually, what I'm hearing is that the show is sort of odd and is expected to make Americans uncomfortable in the long run. There may be a high tune-in factor, but what I'm hearing is that people aren't likely to stick with it just because it's kind of oogie.
There's almost no nudity.
Very little.
Yeah, but the oogie factor is what's going to get people to hang in there.
It's not full frontal, right?
No, it's tasteful.
It's like copper tone, right?
Exactly.
It's like little kids' asses.
And it's all dogs pulling their pants down. That's all.
Kid Nation premieres Wednesday night on CBS. Check your local listings for time and channel. Since we were essentially plugging the show anyway, I thought I'd just go all the way with it. But when it sucks, don't come crying to me. A note used by Mike Vick to remind himself to apologize for the dogfighting has been sold on eBay for $10,200.
Dear myself, good morning.
It's a
must kill dog today.
It's
then must throw touchdown pass. Signed, Michael Vick.
It's supposedly the note to which...
Yes, I can't find my jersey.
Supposedly, this is the note that he referred to while he was speaking to reporters last month. A Humane Society cameraman picked up the note after it had been left on the podium at Vic's news conference.
Strong.
The note lists bullet points, including, apologize for what I have done.
I get it.
And take full responsibility for my actions.
Right. It was those lawyers trying to... Listen, there's really nothing wrong with that. He's just a stupid athlete who's not really good at public speaking.
But I thought you'd be interested that actually the note has now sold on eBay for $10,200.
Was there a bullet point about finding Jesus?
And wait, no, but wait, there's more.
Okay.
The note was purchased by former comedian Carol Leifer, who's now executive producer of TV's Rules of
Engagement. Hotter than balls!
TV's Rules of Engagement.
Hi, Jerry. Hi, Jerry.
You know who she always reminded me of? Who was the chick that was the dentist receptionist on the Bob
Newhart
show.
Oh, yeah, Carol.
Not Carol, but Carol, the tall girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The big mouth.
Hey, Jerry.
And Mike, we lost another piece of ass today. Has anyone told you Brett Summers is gone?
No.
That's right.
Brett Summers Klugman?
Yeah.
Or Brett Klugman Summers?
I'm Brett Klugman.
Yeah, that's right. She's out.
Didn't sound too much far away from Brett herself. Match game 74.
She will be missed.
We have a clip.
Oh, do we?
We've got Brett Summers?
We do. Always in
this ready. He has a clip for.
Sure.
This he's ready for.
He's all over this one.
Conway West could blow his brains out there. And Rob would go, who? Boy, wait, Brett Klugman? Here we go.
Don't stop applauding.
Hit what?
I said roll, which is the same as buns.
Yes. Right, that's good. All right.
Yeah, good clip.
You know, she never got over CNR. That's what happened.
She never did.
Charles Nelson Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
No, we haven't also forgotten about Idaho Senator Larry Craig either. He of the bathroom.
Here he is.
Charles.
Here he is.
Well, you know, usually on the nighttime show, I let it go for about, I think it's 10 or 11 minutes.
I am not gay.
And then just for a change of pace, I come up with a match.
I am not gay.
Yeah.
That boy gayed in a handbag full of rainbows.
Man, they're playing Super Match Up in Heaven.
Well, as for Larry Craig, he of the bathroom foot-tapping fame, he's turned one men's room at the Minneapolis airport into a major tourist attraction.
Sure.
It's the men's room near the food court, which is nice. Quoting a nearby merchant, man, it's been crazy. And people are taking pictures of the entrance to that restroom and of that second stall from the right.
Do they still let you go there?
Memories.
They still let you walk in and do your business?
Open to the public, whatever your business may be.
Oh, I'd do it.
Soon, there'll be no place left to get caught with your pants down. More and more towns and cities are outlawing saggy pants. Call it a crackdown, if you will. Saggy pants is a fashion trend that started in prisons where prisoners are not allowed to have belts.
Used to be my radio name. Saggy pants.
Saggy pants.
I like that.
And you said it like Jerry Reed, too.
It's saggy pants.
Saggy pants.
Saggy pants, son.
Now, this prison trend first got its street cred back in the 1980s and, pardon the image, spread across the country and across cultures. But now, the outlaw look is being outlawed all the way from Trenton, New Jersey, to Atlanta, to Texas and Louisiana. Other cities and towns across the country are considering it. Critics say today's saggy pants wearers are tomorrow's criminals. So,
I don't know whether to laugh or vomit.
So they say we should get them help before it's too late.
Saggy pants. Did you wash your ass today?
You'd know. A new book by a Washington Post diplomatic correspondent reveals that Condoleezza Rice co-owned a home and shared a line of credit with a woman named Randy. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
R-A-N-D-I. Yeah. How very Randy.
Randy.
Glenn Kessler's book is about Ms. Rice's role as a confidant to President Bush and as a shaper of the Bush legacy. Kessler says Rice helped shape the Bush image.
Something stinks like stale French fries.
You know, sometimes you put those words together.
I didn't even notice.
Shape the Bush image.
Just suck that honey down. Good stuff.
Right.
Right, Ollie.
Real estate records say the home was owned jointly by Secretary Rice, Ms. Randy Bean, who's a filmmaker, and a male Stanford professor who's openly gay.
Known to her friends as Mr. Bean.
Mr. Bean.
The only reason for reporting this, of course, is that the Bush administration has been so anti-gay.
She has, though. I think everybody will agree. She has shaped the Bush administration.
Very much so.
I just like the way that sounds.
She got a sexy mouth, too, doesn't she?
Oh, she does.
Condi Rice.
Mm-hmm.
She got some DSLs.
Man.
I'd be like having Letterman go to town on you.
Oh, God. That's better than baseball.
Did anybody
want to last.
Hey, I know it's a week ago, but when Letterman was on the Oprah show.
Yes.
First off, he looked so goddamn uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And he had, it looked like a piece of cotton in his glasses.
Yeah.
Now they said it was fog, but for two entire segments, you could not see the right part of his right eye.
That's true.
And wouldn't you think that someone would have come to them after the first segment to say, hey, dude, there's something on your glasses. Paper,
probably nobody on the Oprah staff, though. If they were aware of it, they'd probably just let it happen.
Dave has always got some sort of affliction, doesn't he? If it's not a broken finger or a hangnail or cotton in his
pink eye.
Yeah, I think he must be careless or something.
And you ever see his hands when he's holding up something?
They're horrible.
Always like got cuts and
it's
nicks.
Always like the cuticles are always bloody.
Bad cuticles, absolutely.
So when he was on the Oprah show, and I thought it was highly uncomfortable, I thought that Oprah was, like, she was doing it because she had to. He was doing it because he had clamored. Two things real quick. First, about Letterman and his kids. Remind me of this. First, Oprah and his kids.
Okay.
Right. One thing. About his kid. He holds up a picture of the kid.
Harry.
A Polaroid. Mm-hmm. And then he holds up a picture of himself and the kid making crazy faces. And he says, "I don't know, I'll get in trouble if I don't do this." But he holds it up like this. It's the family, right? It's him and his girlfriend. He goes, "All right, that's me and... that's the child's mother.
The boy's mother, yes.
That's what he refers to, the boy's mother.
Uh-huh. Yes, beloved by Americans, but of course not all that normal.
What a sentimental old fluff is he.
Don't need to even mention her name or say it's mom. And then the other thing that caught me about this Letterman thing, and I know it's late, I'm sorry, I won't bore you with this. Everybody's heard this a million times, but she gets through the whole thing at the beginning. She says, "So, Dave, they tell me you did a bit where you wanted to be on the show." And he says, "Yes, I did." And she said, "Well, was it a bit or did you really want to be on the show?" He said, "Well, it was a bit, but I also really wanted to be on the show." And she said, why didn't you just call and ask? And she said that about five times until he
finally... You could have called and asked me, Dave.
Until he finally said, I wanted to be asked.
Right.
I mean, seriously, Oprah, come on, girl. How pompous is that?
Right.
Dave, if you wanted to come on, simply call.
Hi, Oprah. It's Dave Letterman. Can I come on your show now? Please? Go on the show, David.
I remember coming home once, and my father says, C's are not allowed in this house.
Yes, Oprah.
And if you take her sexuality supposed out of it, wouldn't it be great if Condoleezza Rice and Michael Strahan had a child?
And David. And throw in David Letterman somewhere in there.
Just put it in the cocktail. Then you can just jam white jelly beans in between all their teeth. And make it like a full smile.
People with spaces in their teeth are cool.
Yeah, Buzz has got them.
I have the diastema. That's what it's called.
What is it called?
Diastema.
I had that over the vacation.
I know. Peanuts.
It's a space between your two front teeth that you can do magical things with. The fashion designer
Wait a minute.
Are you about being cunning again?
Yes, I am. The fashion designer.
Let's talk about linguistics.
Feast on the East. You know what I say, Buzz? Eat at the Y. Eat at the
right.
Y.
That's right.
How far can you spray water through that thing?
You know, that's something I haven't actually tried, but I should. I would like to try
I bet
that.
You can do a really nice job.
Why would you not do that? That's the best thing to do.
You've never tried to spray water between the gap?
Oddly enough, no. I've never tried that. I'd love to try it. Now I want to try it.
Not water.
His lady's love.
That's right.
Now, Marcia, let me spit your love back out at you, Marcia.
Watch this.
Let me regurgitate my love.
Diastema.
The way that
diastema.
Darling, do you remember Jeff Goldblum in The Fly? I'm going to regurgitate your love.
Thanks to my diastema.
I'll work on that tonight.
Wow.
I'll get back to you on that.
I'm Buzz.
Wow. The fashion designer who bought Barry Bonds' 756th home run ball wants you and everybody else to help him decide what to do with it.
How about shove it, you stupid New Yorker?
Goddamn
tired of hearing so-and-so from New York City.
Queens.
Option number one, donate it to the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. Option number two.
Shove it up your butt.
Option number two. Brand it with an asterisk and then donate it to the Hall of Fame.
Option number
shove
three.
Shove it down your throat.
Option number three. Shoot it through your diastema.
Option number three. According to this guy, put it on a rocket and send it into space. Go to vote756.com before midnight tomorrow night. The results will be announced Wednesday morning on the Today Show.
Nobody cares about that ball anymore. No one cares about the ball.
Are you from New York?
You're a New Yorker, too.
Listen, I paid $100 for the ticket. I was on my way to Europe. I'm from New York. Now I'm selling the ball.
I caught the ball.
Mark Echo spent over $752,000 for that ball at Saturday's auction.
There is I call it New York. I don't know how else I describe it. The singular ad right now slays me because it's so New York and it really is funny. It's the butcher. A guy who's in the deli, and he's calling the guy in the meatpacking factory. Have you seen this one?
No.
And he says, hey, I don't have that shipment of roast beef yet.
It's the best.
Say, your wife didn't eat it, did she?
The best one.
And the New York guy, because it's so great, because the call drops out, you don't hear him laughing. You just see the big New York Lombardi teeth.
He's going, silence.
Meanwhile, the guy on the other line, he's like, hello? I guess that wasn't the right thing to say. You know, she's really not that big.
She's almost as big as I.
Great ad. Great friggin'
ad.
And
the acting is so good in that. It's fantastic.
The guy that laughs has the absolute, look it up in the dictionary, New York mouth.
I said the wrong thing. That is fantastic.
Finally, since coffee is made from beans.
As long as we're on the topic, the other one that I like is for the same phone company.
What's
that? I really like the one with the mom that says to the kids that they're texting too much.
Right.
And then she goes to the old lady, Mom, who do you text? Well, nobody. Just my BFF Rose. I guess that one's wasted just on me.
I didn't see that one. I don't remember that one.
Oh, it's all over.
Really?
It's all over.
I saw the one, the New York one, all the time.
LOL. ROFL. IMHO.
Finally.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
BFF.
Since coffee is made from beans, it seemed like a good idea to Bob Fish to name his new chain of coffee shops Beaners. Bob says he never considered that the name might be...
That's an ugly word, Buzz.
Ugly.
Well, Bob never thought it might be a racial slur. It never occurred to him as the company's business crept toward the $30 million a year mark. Fortunately, the chain's logo is just a big letter B, so all Bob had to do was consider over 100 different non-offensive words that began
How about
with
this?
B as in Beaner.
How about Spix?
Oh, dear. No, 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 not no, acceptable.
And if it was really clean, place really clean, it would be Spick and Span.
It's got to be a B. So he settled on Big B's. Bob says he'd rather people talked about his coffee than his accidental racial
slur. How about diastemas?
What about wetbacks?
No, it has to start with a B.
That's such a classic one, Don. I love that one.
He's still making the coffee, however, with beans. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
No! What happened, eh?
Where is it? Where is it? We're out of time.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Well, we're all off to the Indian Casino.
Yeah.
We wish you Godspeed. Great to be back. We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode. Good day to you, sir.
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 You had
dinner at my house tonight. Carrie's cooking peanuts.
Yeah. Diastema. And Peter North.
See you tomorrow. Yeah, hit the button. We're still on the air.
Are we?
Bye, Mike.
Good night.
Guess how much money Mike won.
This is the Don and Mike Show.